Y hello, hello, hello. We are live with Common Sense Uncensored. And ooh, check out the backdrop. Woo! We're styling today.
Gonna
thank Katie. Gonna thank Katie for the new backdrop we got here. And tell her that she's styling us now. How about that? And I've got my friend Trish Knutson with me today. And I'm gonna just show Trish there. Hey, Trish, how's it going?
Hi.
And we're going to be talking today about a topic that I don't think there's anybody on the planet that doesn't have an opinion on it, but nobody seems to want to talk about it. People want to shout about it, but nobody seems to want to talk about it. We're going to talk today about abortion. We're going to talk about some abortion myths and stuff, and it's kind of a big deal because of the recent Supreme Court decision. And what a lot of people don't seem to understand is that we have not banned abortion.
That's right.
As a country. Abortion is still legal in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. What we have done is we have given it back to each of the states to make their decision. And I happen to like that because I feel that we've been having too much power centrally located in our federal government, and more power is being siphoned away from the states. And when the United States was set up, granted there were only 13 at the time, but when it was set up, it was decided that with the Constitution and stuff, that the states should have the right to control what they want to do more right. than the federal government. That protects you from tyranny.
Right.
Therefore, I would like to say, what are some basic myths that you've heard? We'll start with you and we'll bounce back and forth, that you've heard come down since the ruling, besides the fact that all abortion is banned, because right. we know that's not true.
Well, then the one that we've talked about the most, that I've talked about most people about the most, is that now that abortion is banned,
yep.
which is not true.
Which is not true.
That we're just going to let women's health care, you know, go back to the back alley.
The coat hangers.
Right. That if you have an ectopic pregnancy, which is where the baby attaches inside your fallopian tube, that we're just going to say, oh, well, sorry, I guess you're going to die. And we're not going to take care of you because now it's illegal, which is not true. Additionally, so we have over the last decade or so moved a lot of medical designations to the abortion terminology.
Correct.
So you don't have a miscarriage anymore. You have a spontaneous abortion. If you go to the hospital, like I have, given birth to a baby, and you start to hemorrhage, whereas you're bleeding to death, then you get a DNC, a dilation and curettage, which
yep.
is an abortion
which
procedure.
Which is an abortion procedure, correct.
Right. But they didn't need to dilate me. I was already dilated. I'd given birth. Believe me, I was mm-hmm. dilated. And so they're not going to tell those mothers, oh, we're sorry you're bleeding to death. Abortion's illegal in North Dakota, so have a nice day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the paperwork to sign for your casket.
And we're also not going to say, oh, you have an egg developing into a fetus in your
fallopian tube.
And so we're going to let that come to term yeah. and explode and kill you both.
Yeah. You and the baby are both going to die.
Yep.
So thanks. Have a nice day. That's not what's happening.
No. And it never would have happened. Even when abortion was completely illegal.
Mm-hmm.
That would not have been allowed to occur.
Right.
So why do people think it's going to be allowed to occur?
Both of those things are
now?
Emergency situations.
Correct.
We're not talking about an emergency procedure. We're talking about an elective procedure.
That's the key.
And the states are allowed now to have a decision over whether or not they allow this elective procedure to happen.
Correct. And so that's one of the biggest myths, is the fact that we're going to allow women to die that have an emergency need because we won't allow an abortion. Mm-hmm. And I've been talking to people that are literally hysterical, that are attempting to tell me how wrong I am. And I'm like, no, no. And I've spoken to medical people, and they looked at me and they said, Kit, we ectopic pregnancies, we never allowed those to occur.
Right.
If there's hemorrhaging or whatever after a miscarriage or whatever, we've never not done that, allowed that to occur. So a lot of what I see happening is hysteria. But another one that's really come about is that they're going to prohibit travel. So in other words, if North Dakota is going to be losing its only abortion clinic, they're moving from Fargo to Moorhead. Uh-huh. And the big thing that I've heard is that, well, the states are going to forbid you to travel. You're not going to be able to go from Fargo to Moorhead to get an abortion. And I'm like, no state
because
has the right.
There's a barrier.
Yeah.
Over the interstate.
That knows you want.
From Fargo to Moorhead to check whether or not you're pregnant. And if you're pregnant, it's going to go, woo, woo, woo.
And you will
and
be pulled over immediately.
And they're going to ask, do you want an abortion?
No state has the right to prohibit travel.
That's right.
Period. Now.
Okay. It's in our state constitution, and it's in the federal
constitution. It's in the federal constitution, too. For now. God knows they're working on it. But here's the other thing. Besides that myth, yes, there. If you are in a state, a state may have the right to say you don't have insurance coverage for that.
Well, that would be your insurance company, not your state.
Exactly. Exactly, because states are working on that. Some states are saying, well, yeah, you can get your abortion, but you can't let insurance pay for it, or Medicaid can't pay for it. Mm-hmm. That gets to be a whole nother story. But the big one that, and I actually, you know, when they said, we'll prohibit travel to another state for abortion, I was like, that is the silliest.
How are you going to do that? Just how?
That is the damn silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. Yeah. Especially when Planned Parenthood is talking about, we'll provide buses.
Right? Right.
I mean, they have.
Yeah.
They've come right out and said, we'll transport you for free.
And that's another myth, too. The plan, like, North Dakota State University has a contract with Planned Parenthood. Oh, now North Dakota State University is going to run out of money because we're not going to allow them to have this contract with Planned Parenthood that doesn't have anything to do with the money that NDSU gets.
Not a thing.
Yeah, it's not going to eliminate the ability for the state of North Dakota to provide funding to NDSU.
The hysteria, and I do have to say hysteria, that the media and politicians, I'll blame them as well, working in cohorts with the media foment to work people into what I like to call a political frenzy.
Right.
And terrify people by providing one of their favorite phrases, misinformation,
right,
to people. It astounds me. But what astounds me even more is the people that just eat it with a spoon and don't even bother to do their own research.
Well, sometimes it's so scary, quite frankly. Some of what they have to say is so scary, people go to a scary place in their head and don't think through it. Like the idea that your daughter, who might accidentally get pregnant, is going to have to find some nasty person in a back alley and pay them cash so that they can stick a dirty, rusty hanger upside of them.
Especially if she's been raped or incest.
Right.
That's the one they always bring up.
Right. So that maybe doesn't happen now. If you wanted to do that now, I mean, I suppose you probably could. But the idea is that without legal abortions, abortions are going to be unsafe. And the reality is that even with legal abortions, abortions are unsafe. Women get damaged and killed from abortions all the time, but it's not in the news.
Nope.
And when the ambulance comes to the abortion clinic, they don't go to the front door.
Nope. Here's another thing. That abortion pill that everybody says, oh, you know, you've had a bad night, whatever, mm-hmm. It's just magic. Right. That thing's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
It causes a lot of complications for young girls and women. And that is never talked about either.
Well, just like birth control can cause strokes.
Yep.
And heart attacks. You know, we don't talk about those things because they're rare. Well, pretty much all medicines have potential serious side effects. So this isn't that particular RU486 isn't any different.
Right. And you can buy that over the counter.
Right.
It used to be prescription only, but now it's over the counter.
And you can buy it over the internet.
Yeah, well, can't you buy over the internet anymore? Right. But I just, the thought that an abortion is safe and giving birth, literally, I had somebody say to me, an abortion is safe and giving birth is dangerous.
Right. Whoopi Goldberg was saying that God approved of abortions because he gave us the right to choose.
Well, I'm glad to know that Whoopi and God have had that conversation.
Right.
Because I apparently missed it when I spoke with him. But I mean, last time him and I had this dialogue.
It's just one of those things that we can say all kinds of things that we want to, but that doesn't necessarily make them true.
Yeah.
And we can complain about the unsafety of abortions without legalization and ignore the fact that abortions are still unsafe. And we as humans are exceptionally good at justifying our actions.
Well, we've done that with the fact when we say it's just a piece of tissue rather than a potential human being.
Right.
A mass or a clump of cells. Mm-hmm. Okay, granted. But it's going to be a baby.
Right.
And
there was an excellent comedy skit.
Yeah.
The guy said, I'm at home. I'm baking a cake. I have mixed it all up in the mixer. I have poured the batter into the cake pan. I've put it in the oven. Someone comes into my house, takes the pan out of the oven, and throws it on the floor. It wasn't a cake yet, they'd say. Well, it wasn't a cake because, you know, it hadn't finished cooking. Well, it was gonna be a cake.
Yep.
And he went on about how, it's cake-icide! You murdered my cake! You aborted my cake! Well, you know, it's gonna be a cake. It's gonna be a baby. It's not like...
At what point?
It's gonna be a dog.
Yep.
It's not like it's gonna be a car. Humans don't give birth to pencils.
Well, here's another one that slays me, is they're talking about the fact that, well, there's if they get an abortion and it's not legal in the state, they're going to be charged with murder. Okay, well, if a woman is pregnant right now and she's killed, or the baby is killed and she survives in a car accident or something, that individual can still be charged with murder.
Right.
So...
And
I don't get the difference.
That's where it comes up to the state's rights.
Yeah,
the state
that's why we're doing it.
We in North Dakota, you know, we have the choice now to decide whether or not we want to have abortions. And if we discover that someone has had an abortion within the state, which would be illegal, we also get to decide exactly how we want to handle that situation, just like anything else.
And it comes down to choice. You have a choice.
Right.
If you're in North Dakota, A, you don't have to live in North Dakota, and B, you don't have to have your medical care in North Dakota choose not to. So when people talk to me about, well, I want a choice, I'm going, you've just gotten more choices than you ever thought you could have, because right across the road in Minnesota, you still have that option. It's called a choice.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you can't make that choice. I'm just going to say you can't make that choice here.
Right.
And
if you're driving from the oil country on the west side of the state to Fargo for an abortion, and oh no, the abortion clinic is closed, but wait, you could drive 5 more miles to the next one. Then, I mean, it's not a huge hardship.
Well, and the thing that I don't understand is they're making up all of these worst case scenarios. And I'm sitting there going, this is not the case. This misinformation and this hysteria is causing you so much mental anguish. People have not seemed to be able to wrap their hands around. Basically, not much has changed.
Right. And if we look at other states, what are they doing now? Kansas had said, well, we're not going to have abortions here. And guess what? They trucked in protesters from all over the country, and Kansas caved.
Yep.
So, I mean, we have seen in North Dakota where people bus in activists, where they bus in voters, whatever they want in order to collect the desired agenda by persuading the public opinion.
Well, here's the thing. There's some key takeaways here. Key takeaways. Abortion regulations vary by state and health plan.
Right.
And they always have. Half of U.S. states ban abortion coverage in at least some private insurance plans. Only 6 states require coverage in all private plans: California, Illinois, Maine, New York, Oregon, and Washington. 20 states limit abortion coverage to cases that involve exceptions, such issues as life endangerment, rape, incest, and fetal abnormality. Out of 50 states, 20 states are where you might have a problem. That seems like you still have quite a lot of choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's options there.
Right. And we're not in colonial times where in order to go to another state, you need to hop on a horse.
Or an ox cart.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fairly easy. And Planned Parenthood actually is
right
taking care of the travel plans. Mm-hmm. And actually, President Joe Biden just signed an executive order. I love those executive orders. On Wednesday, aimed at helping women cross state borders to obtain abortions.
How handy!
Yes, Department of Health and Human Services has been asked to consider allowing Medicaid funds, that's tax funds, people, to be used to assist people traveling between states to get abortions. And the Health and Human Services, Biden wants them to ensure that health providers providers comply with federal anti-discrimination laws so women receive medical necessary care without delay. Now, that is going to be a problem with the Hyde Amendment, because the Hyde Amendment bans federal funds for abortions except, again, in cases of rape, incest, or danger to life of the woman. So I'm sure there's going to be federal challenges here coming over the place.
Yeah, there will be. And there will be protesters, and North Dakota is going to have to decide, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But I find that particularly interesting that they're going to provide you with funds. So how is that going to happen?
Well, I'll tell
you're going to have to fill out a form somewhere that says, I'd like an abortion in Hawaii. Will you please pay for my funds? I think I need to have my abortion in Hawaii, and I think it's going to take 2 weeks.
I think it's going to take longer than that. But all right, I'll tell you what. I've actually got an answer to your fund question. I will get back to that as soon as we give this wonderful profit margin break here for Southtown Poorhouse, because every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse. Stop in for your favorite drinks and, of course, happy hour with half-price apps and taps every day from 4 to 6 p.m. And you can't forget about Buck Burgers on Tuesdays and the awesome steak specials on Thursday at 6. Make sure to check out the Southtown Poorhouse events page and find out if and when your favorite band is playing live. They've taken the summer off, but they will be back in the fall. Every day is a great day at Southtown Poorhouse. 2015 Library Circle, next to the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m., and they're now hiring people. Great pay, flexible hours, part-time or full-time is available, employee discounts, and you have free cover on band nights. So besides all the other fun stuff that happens there, you can even work there. Get out to Southtown Poorhouse today and have a great time. Now, let's get back, because how much does an abortion cost? They say that the average price is around $750, but it's often less.
$750? $7.50.
$750, but it's often less. The cost of an abortion varies on the state or health center where you want to get care. And Planned Parenthood will work to get you the services you need, whether or not you have insurance. Your abortion may be free or low cost with health insurance. Some government health insurance plans, like Medicaid, in certain states cover abortion, while others don't, depending on the circumstances.
Our health care plan covers abortion, and I'm in this state.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
I don't get to say, I don't believe in abortions, so I don't want to cover that with my health care dollars.
Nope. Nor did I ever.
Right.
Whenever I was in a general health care thing, I never got to pick. And, you know, I'm going to pause for just a second, because something just popped into my head. There's all kinds of abortion funds able to help pay for your abortion. They'll also offer help with transportation, lodging, childcare, and other resources you may need to access your abortion. There's an actual national network of abortion funds, in which North Dakota alone has 7 separate agencies that can provide you with abortion financial aid. All right.
That's
now,
nice.
Now, I didn't get a chance to look it up, but I'd be willing to bet that there's a lot less that provide you with aid to keep and have that baby.
Although, do you remember, was it Kramer that suggested that if you get pregnant, you could sue the father, once you prove who the father is, for all of your needs while you're pregnant.
Now, in the case of rape or incest, I'm on board with that. On the case of it was Saturday night, I'm a little no, because to me that takes two. So 50% I'm on board with, but 100%, unless Immaculate Conception is returned to North Dakota or just about any place else, I'm really, really against that, because that's putting all of the responsibility for an evening on one of the participants, leaving the other participant to pretty much skip down the road fancy-free with a lot of, shall we just say, money for having that baby?
Well, and that's the other thing about abortion. Fathers don't get a say. And I understand fathers aren't the ones that have to carry it. They don't have to have sore hips and all those other parts that hurt. But it's still their child. And abortion services do not take that into account. They have no voice whatsoever. And then again, neither does the child.
Well, see, and that's the thing. You know, I think I'm like a lot of people, all right? My body, my choice. When it comes to the vaccinations for COVID and a bunch of other things, I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't be able to tell somebody what they can do. Mm-hmm. I get that. But the only person I'm really endangering, and I know they'll say, oh, if you're not vaccinated and you're putting me in danger. No, I'm not. And that's been scientifically proved. But when it comes to an abortion, that kid has no choice. That kid has no option.
Right.
And so that is the line in the sand I put down between my body and my choice, because it's not a parasite. It's a baby. You're not getting rid of a tapeworm.
Right. I mean, what if it's a female baby? Then doesn't it have women's rights? I'm just kidding.
No, I'm not. Yeah. No. I'm not, because I'll be honest, I'll take that a little further. China.
Uh-huh.
The one-child policy.
Right.
China now has an issue.
Yeah, they do.
Because they have way more men than they have women, because so many of the female babies, while they weren't necessarily aborted, were killed.
Because of the Chinese culture.
Because of the Chinese culture, they need a male to take care of
mom and dad.
Mom and dad.
Right.
And so now up in China, they have way more men than they have.
10 to 1.
Yeah, 10 to 1.
Yeah.
Because people handled it themselves.
Right.
And so that is not so far-fetched to say that abortion could eventually be used for designer babies. The baby has a problem. It looks like it could be Down syndrome. Ooh, well, we should get rid of that.
Well, I mean, just simply babies from African-American women are aborted at a higher rate than babies from women of European descent. Why is that? And isn't that something we should be concerned about?
Well, I think we should be concerned about them all, but I think that when you take a look at the numbers like that, I agree. If I was, and people are going to say, well, you don't know what it's like to be African-American. You're right. I don't. But if I was African-American, I'd be a little upset by this.
Yeah.
I'd take a look at those numbers and I'd be going, genocide.
Why doesn't the Black Lives Matter consider infants?
Great question. Yeah. I don't freaking know. And why are there all of these organizations that provide assistance with your having an abortion?
Right.
And
there's tons of money available to kill your child.
Yeah. Where is the money that's available where if somebody is pregnant, even if they get married, a lot of times there's people that don't have enough money for
centers. And North Dakota Right to Life, there are places that raise money for that. But the amount of money
is
significantly less, because those types of charities are mostly funded by actual people, not the federal government.
Well, and there's something to be said about the Fargo Abortion Clinic put up a GoFundMe page when the Supreme Court, they're moving over to Moorhead with over $1 million in funds. And
that
happened in what, a month?
Right. And we as North Dakotans, what have we done with a million? I mean, do we have $1 million that we gave to North Dakota Right to Life? Do we have $1 million that we gave to a pregnancy center anywhere? No, we don't. I mean, maybe you if you totaled them all up,
easy for you to say.
Yeah. Then, you know, maybe it would add up to that, but it certainly isn't every week we have a GoFundMe account that's raising $1 million in North Dakota to save babies.
Well, and
we need to.
Planned Parenthood, like you said, it's on NDSU campus. Mm-hmm. They're actually in California. There's a Planned Parenthood that went into a high school campus.
Yeah.
And stuff. So
Girl Scouts are connected with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I know.
As well.
We get a badge. Anyway, but what I'm trying to say is, so where is the Planned Parenthood? Is we've got such a way of marketing stuff because Planned Parenthood.
It sounds nice.
It doesn't it?
Yeah.
I just
it sounds like you're being thoughtful.
Yeah. It's uh-huh. I'm planning. I'm doing the no
right
no.
I'm focused on what's best for the future. No, what's best for that's one of the things that we're having as a society is we're having less and less and less and less babies.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like the Schumer Mansion Law, not to take a tangent, but it's called the anti-inflation law, and it's going to do anything but that. Huh. It's not going to help inflation one iota. In fact, it's going to snowball it. So the one thing I've learned in watching politics is whatever something is named, it usually is going to accomplish the exact opposite.
Kind of like the safe haven law in North Dakota.
And that's what I was going to go with, is the fact that we don't do enough to see that babies have a chance. We do a lot to make sure that babies don't have any chance. But when it comes down to seeing that babies have the opportunity to thrive and to become actual productive human beings, we are so far lacking. I would like to see if somebody that had an organization like that could raise over $1 million in a month, and I'll bet you they couldn't.
Yeah. The Safe Haven Baby Law, for those that don't know, allows a person to relinquish their infant if the infant is under 1 year old and if the infant has no evidence of abuse or neglect. And if you can wait to, you have to go to a specific government designated location to do that. You have to relinquish your child to a person, and you have to, there's, you know, some paperwork involved. You have to, if your infant has any native heritage, then you have to identify that and provide paperwork for that as well.
So is this the general law or is this North Dakota's law?
This is North Dakota's safe haven law.
Okay. Keep going. Tell me more.
And you can find all that information online. There's actually a course that you can take online so that you're a safe haven law expert. But that is something that we created in 2000 to go with this idea of if someone wants to surrender their child, they can, and we won't prosecute them. But in 2009, an infant was surrendered in Grand Forks. It was left outside of a fire station, which is not an approved safe haven baby location.
Okay.
However, it is in most other states.
Yes, so confusion.
Right. So the person who surrendered that child didn't know the current state law. They maybe had heard that it was okay in other places. And since they didn't know that, the Grand Forks authorities were very interested in, even a year later, identifying the parents involved so that they could prosecute them for abandoning their child, which is the exact opposite of what the safe haven law is intended to do.
That slays me, okay? You can eliminate a child, and literally you're celebrated.
Right.
Because I've watched all kinds of celebrities and stuff have abortion parties celebrating their abortions and everything else, okay? But you do what you think's the right thing.
Right.
For the baby.
You go through actually getting pregnant. You know, maybe you didn't want the baby, but you knew it was wrong to kill a baby. So you went through getting pregnant and you surrendered it to what you thought was an okay location, and they want to put you in jail for that.
See that?
Because you didn't know the exact law for the state of North Dakota.
I'm just boggled.
That's a little bit, that's not a really helpful law. And actually, there's no, they don't track how many times the safe haven law has been used, because it is only for instances that meet those specific requirements. And so there is no record of it ever being used whatsoever.
Uh-huh. So, because, well, why would there be a record if we don't track it? Gee, that shocks the hell out of me. We don't track it. So we don't think it's being used, but we don't track it.
Well, yeah.
Duh.
And, I mean, if you're surrendering an infant, there's something wrong with the family situation.
Obviously.
Period. Right? Whether there's an abuse, neglect, simply a lack of desire to be a parent, whatever it is, there's something wrong there. And the infant surrendered then is going to draw the attention of state authorities to verify that there is no abuse or neglect.
Correct.
So if you are, say you want to provide for your child so they have a better life because you yourself are abused and you're able, you think I can surrender my child to a fire station.
A better place.
And at least someone who won't abuse them will get that child.
Correct.
Right. So that would be an opportunity. That might be the way someone thinks, especially if you're having a crisis.
Yeah.
That might be a reasonable thought process. But that's not exactly how the law works because you can get punished for doing that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So there's no record of it having been used. Whether or not it's been used, we don't know. But I would guess that any infant surrendered, there's going to be an investigation as to whether or not there was neglect or abuse. Just because. Why else would you surrender your child in most situations? In North Dakota, we don't look at the situation where I just don't want a child. And when you don't want your child, the state is still designed to keep the parent and the child together. And that's not everybody. There are people who don't want to be parents.
Or at that point don't want whatever issue there's a crisis.
There are people who would believe that if they surrender their child to the foster care system, it will have a better life than the life that they currently have. There have been babies in North Dakota left on the side of the road to die.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't deal with that situation. We don't want to talk about those things. Just like we don't want to talk about the fact that abortions are easy. Nobody talks about whether or not you had an abortion. You go to the abortion clinic. Heck, you can wear a mask and cover your face if you want to. Nobody has to know it happened. We hide it because we don't want to deal with it.
You do the right thing and you're screwed, blued, and tattooed, and the law's after you.
Right.
Perfect. Okay, here we go. I have another obscene profit break, and this is for executive properties. Katie, take it away.
Contact us today to get started on a bid for your next project. You can call us at 701-330-1273 or email info@executiveproperties.org and check it out. We're hiring. We're building our new team for snow removal for this upcoming season. Contact Jess for more info at jess@executiveproperties.org.
Okay, we're back.
Yay.
Well, you know, that whole situation... The scales aren't even close to being balanced on this. It's so out of hand.
We pretend that every child is born to a family that has support and finances to take care of it. And if you don't fit in that situation, oh, well, you have an abortion. And if we're going to take North Dakota down the path of where that is not as easy as an option for someone as it was before because you have to go to Moorhead, then we need to address that. And quite frankly, we should have addressed it decades ago.
Decades ago. And we
need to take care of all the children and all of the families,
under
not
all
just
circumstances.
The ones that fit into the cookie cutter houses.
Yeah, and under all circumstances. And if it's this, if it's easy to get an abortion, which we've pretty much demonstrated it is, why isn't it easy to find a way to take care of your baby in the best way, which may be giving it up? And you've got a wonderful organization that you're working to get off the ground, mm-hmm. and it's called MamaBears.com. And I wonder if you could help me by telling me a little bit about this, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to balance those scales out a little bit between the only option being living in poverty with a child that you don't want in circumstances that you don't want, or mm-hmm. taking an abortion. So what
well,
is
Mama
Bears?
Well, there's a third
do?
Option we don't talk about as well, and that would be selling your child to someone.
Let's not.
Or giving it to someone who will take it from you with no questions asked.
Yeah, well,
we'd like to prevent that.
Yes, we definitely would.
So Mama Bears has started the Every Child, Every Family Project.
Okay.
And as we potentially enter into an era of no in-state abortions, we have to acknowledge that abortions served a certain group of people. And the pregnancy centers that we have in North Dakota, the adoption agencies that we have in North Dakota, the safe haven law that we have in North Dakota, those aren't serving those people. And we have to come up with something that serves those people. And so the Every Child, Every Family Project intends to help raise awareness for this need and then provide for that need by helping to change the law and raising money to install infant shelters across the state. Potentially, hopefully, one in every place where there is a college or university. So that's 21 cities. 19 cities, I think, in North Dakota. And by doing that, then what the infant shelter, it's called a variety of things. Basically, it's a box in a wall, like at an ER or a fire station, if the fire station is staffed 24/7. And it has a door that opens, and you can put your infant into an incubator. And then once the door closes, then it's locked, and so that nobody else can come along and take your baby.
Yep.
And authorities are alerted so that someone is getting to care for that infant immediately. And that's why it would be at an ER or a fire station that's staffed 24/7, because there would be someone right there.
Right. There wouldn't have to be a lag time.
Right.
A lag time in waiting like a half hour or whatever for somebody to get there.
Like the instance in Grand Forks in 2009, the baby was left on top of a heating unit outside of a fire station. And on that particular day, the temperature was 17.
Oof.
It's a darn good thing that the fireman happened to be out shoveling when the baby was put there. Because that otherwise, the baby probably would have not made it. And so this infant shelter or incubator with a hatch, whatever you want to call it, make sure that there is a safe place to leave your child if that's the decision that you make for them. By doing that, we would have to change the state's safe haven law. Because right now the safe haven law requires that you relinquish your infant to specific individuals that are on staff at specific facilities. And like, you'd have to look up what those are. If you're in crisis, you're not going to do that.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. So, it's not terribly user-friendly. Plus, if you have to fill out forms, mm-hmm. if you have to wait at an ER for a specific individual who mm-hmm. could be on call somewhere else to show up and
if
come down.
If this law's never used and you walk into an ER and say to the receptionist, I'd like to relinquish my baby, they're going to go, what? Let me find out who to talk to about that. And you're going to have to wait. And it says that you'll get a bracelet. Who's going to know where the bracelets are if we're not using this law? You have to get an identification bracelet so that you can go back to your baby later if you want to. And that's a good idea. And we could certainly have, an incubator with a bracelet dispenser, because I know we could make a bracelet dispenser. It wouldn't be too much different than like a vending machine. So we could certainly follow parts of the law, but the part of the law where you have to go to a specific person at a specific location, we need to make that better. We need to make it more usable for people. And we need to get North Dakota behind this idea that not only do we not want to have abortions here, we actually want to save every child. We want to do the best for every child, not just the children that fit into the cookie cutter homes.
There seems to be almost an opinion that just because we've eliminated abortions, the children are now being taken care of and everything's
right.
hunky-dory.
Right. We've been working on abortion for decades. Woo!
Yep.
We did it! We won the game! Now let's go party. But no, it's not like that. We have to do more.
There's a reason that the people are getting the abortions and stuff, and there's a reason that they're not bringing the babies to term, and there's a reason the safe haven law isn't being used, because that anonymity
is not there. Right.
And that feeling that I don't blame anybody for not trusting the government when the government says we're not going to prosecute you. You'll have to forgive me, but I don't. And so if I was in a situation like that where I knew I wanted to get my baby help, but I didn't know if by getting my baby help I was going to go to jail or something else, what are my other options? My other options aren't damn few.
Right. And if your options are go to Moorhead and get an abortion or be pregnant for 9 months and then potentially go to jail, which one are you going to pick?
Gee, it seems to me like it wouldn't be a real tough call for a lot of people. And I mean, it's not like there aren't people that want to adopt.
Right.
Because I know three
be
couples.
I'm willing to guess thousands.
I know three couples that I personally know
that
I know waited years.
Right. My husband and I signed up through the system to adopt, and we didn't make it all the way through the system. And we pretty much gave up. At one point, they took us to the place where a potential mother would go. And they showed us binders upon big, fat, four-inch binders. And each of them had one piece of paper in it for an adoptive family. And they're like, you will get to, design.
You're
going to
be a piece of this paper.
You get to present yourself to an adoptive mother, and they can go through all these binders and pick one. And I kid you not, there have to have been 1,000 people waiting.
Yep, and that's North Dakota.
That's North Dakota, right. And it's not the same in other states.
What we can do is we can take a look at what North Dakota is, because that's what we're working with right now. But right. I do happen to know that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
right.
7 adoption centers
right.
just in North Dakota, at separate places where you can go to get adoptions. And the people that I know that I talked to that waited quite frankly years.
Right. You have to wait years. Said, you have to spend probably at least $10,000, if not closer to $100,000.
That's another
thing. There are people
thing.
That fundraise to afford an abortion, excuse me, an adoption.
Yep.
Because there, you have to go somewhere else. If you want an infant so that you can raise it from the beginning and you're, you know, there are reasons for choosing that for your family.
Right.
You pretty much have to go somewhere else. If there's a nationwide website where you can go to see which children are available for adoption called Adopt Us Kids or Adopt US Kids. And in North Dakota, generally, every time I've ever been there, there are zero infants. And, you know, that's something I've looked at for years. There are zero infants available. In 2009, when that infant was abandoned at the Grand Forks Fire Station, within 2 days, they had dozens and dozens of people who were pre-approved, already waiting to adopt an infant that wanted that infant. That infant, I mean...
So
sort of hit the lottery, hit the jackpot, well, because they had, if they could think about it, if they got the choice, you know, they would be like, which family do I want to go to? So we don't have a shortage of families in North Dakota.
And that's another myth, because when I see people out there arguing about abortion, they go, oh, well, you guys are so worried about babies until they're born, and then there's nobody around to help them. And I'm sitting there going, I know personally mm-hmm. of people who were desperate to have a child, who spent thousands of dollars, waited years mm-hmm. for a baby. So the lie that there's no one out there who wants to take care of these kids after they're born is blatantly false.
Right, right. There are hundreds, if not more, families waiting to adopt. And so that concept isn't there. The only thing that we're missing is we're missing the ability to... have the babies make it through pregnancy and get to some of those families.
The other thing we're missing is the foster system is really screwed up. Yeah. And I'll say it, sorry, you know, cards and letters, Kit Brennan, Common Sense Uncensored here, send them to me, but the foster system is really screwed up.
Yeah.
Because it shows statistically that between the age of basically born and 5, mm-hmm. kids are golden. Ready to be adopted. I mean, just
right.
fly off the shelves.
Right.
From about 5 on, it gets tough.
Yep.
And the problem with the foster care system is that it drags its feet
uh-huh.
and keeps these kids in the system so long they pass that sweet spot where they could be easily be being adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying kids 5 and over aren't adopted, but what I'm saying is, okay, if this was commerce, because I'm a business person, you're holding a product on the shelf until nobody wants it, and then you're screaming about the fact that that product is on the shelf, so what we should do is eliminate the product entirely.
Well, the foster system, generally speaking, just as a generalization, yep. deals with it kids that are experiencing abuse. And so as you're keeping them in a home until they're 5, you're keeping them in an abusive situation, whether it's from the foster home back to house, or back to your parents, from the foster home back to your parents. There's abuse happening oftentimes. Most often, there's abuse happening somewhere in there. And by the time they get to the point where you say, okay, we've taken 5 years, we have proven this parent cannot parent, and the child is now officially adoptable, they're abused.
And they're mentally abused. I mean, not just yeah. the physical things. These kids are broken. They're used to having a garbage bag mm. where some stuff's thrown in.
Yeah. I had a family member who adopted children, and their children had grown up in, I mean, basically like a dirt floor hut. I mean, it wasn't in the state of North Dakota. But nonetheless, they had no like common, even though they were like 8 and 10 at the time, they didn't know how to use a toilet well because they weren't used to using one, because it took that long for somebody to say, oh, maybe we should get you a family that knows how to do certain things in society, like teach kids how to use the toilet. You know, I mean, that's just one example, but there's There's hundreds and thousands of examples.
We're going to get back to that. I've got one thing to do, because what we've got to do now is we've got to do Mayor's Back the Badge Ride. The Mayor's Back the Badge Ride is back for its second year. August 24th from 4:30 to 9 o'clock, Mayor Brandon Buchinski is excited to invite UTV, ATV, motorcyclists, and even golf cart enthusiasts together to join a family-friendly recreation within Grand Forks city limits, all while supporting the Grand Forks Police, Grand Forks Sheriff, and the University Police Department. As part of the festivities this year, we're excited to announce Zero Gravity Outreach, a motorbike and quad aerial display. Here's your chance to show off your support for our brave men and women who dedicate themselves each day to protecting our community. And schedule of events will be coming soon. The Mayor's Back to Badge Ride, August 24th. To register, go to mayorsbackthebadgeride.com. And it's kind of interesting that we had that, because a lot of our frontline people, mm-hmm. our police and are the ones that are finding these kids that are in these situations,
right.
and putting them into foster care. And I actually taught with a lady who was a foster mom, mm-hmm. and she had quite a few kids throughout the years and stuff.
Right.
And she said it's just so hard, because you get them and they just start to get comfortable, and it's like they're ripped out of their comfort zone and thrown back.
Right.
And then you get the next one in. It's this revolving door that no one seems to be able to stop.
And if you don't want to be a parent, and abortion has been removed as the easiest option for you, what other options are there?
None.
If you had an infant shelter in every university town in North Dakota, that would be an easier option than driving to Moorhead from Minot, potentially. Yep. Granted, you'd have to deal with 9 months being pregnant, so I get that. But it's something that you could think about. You could know. I mean, it's almost... There are lots of positive things that we can do as a state to support every child and every family.
Well, there's something else too, and that is, if you've ever watched television, which I'm sure everybody has, but they have things like shows like 16 and Pregnant,
right.
and all of these other shows, which quite frankly, in my mind, glorify
yep.
being pregnant and make being 16 and pregnant. I have a TV show. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And da 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 da.
It's fairly easy to get yourself into that situation.
Yeah,
as well.
And
it's harder to get out of it.
And well, that's the thing. You see, youngsters see these shows, mm-hmm. and they think that it's going to be like that.
Right.
And they get pregnant, and they have the baby.
And it's not like that.
And
it's hard.
It is not.
It's really hard. I mean, talking to sleep deprivation,
dirty diapers. Where right. do I sign up? Right.
Right. Right.
I mean,
I've told lots of people that poop made me throw up. And when I had my first kid, we had a diaper bin and a throw up bin at the diaper changing table. And I used that sucker, because every time I changed a dirty diaper, I threw up. And it's not fun.
But
you do it because it's your kid. But if there's somebody who won't do it, it doesn't want to do it, whatever reason it is, we need to care for them.
We need to get through to these people that, okay, you're 16. Everybody told you this was going to be the best thing since sliced bread, yada, 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 and mm-hmm. it's not.
Right.
Now what?
Right.
And there's obviously problems with drug abuse. There's people who find out that they're 16 and don't want this. I've got my life ahead of me, but I've got a baby now. What do I do? They don't necessarily have grandparents to turn
or
things over to.
Maybe the grandparents have been given the baby and they just can't do it.
Yes.
There's so many options of where people, so many scenarios where people just, they choose not to, they can't for whatever reason. They need something.
Yep.
And so having infant shelters across North Dakota would be a wonderful thing that we could do, as that's supporting people, that's telling them, you know, we're not just going to say, woohoo, no abortions, and we're actually going to do something.
See, and that's why I'm really glad that you've brought up this mamabears.com thing, because I got to tell you, I've always seen that disconnect between, all right, we've gotten rid of abortion, now what? Because babies aren't just magically going to end up growing up well. There's a lot of different scenarios. And if a person realizes that they care enough for their child to give them up for a chance of a better life,
then they shouldn't be prosecuted.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly.
And they should be given an opportunity to do that in a way that is safe for them and safe for the baby.
And dignified.
Yeah. And the part of the project with the Every Child, Every Family project for Mama Bears is that in addition to having infant shelters across the state, we're going to, you know, try to help all of our pregnancy centers, try to help all of our moms. Because in no way do we want a situation where, you know, a 16-year-old gives birth, puts the infant into the infant shelter, walks halfway to their car, and dies in the parking lot. That would be bad. We don't want that. We're not at the point where we're saying, oh, well, we just want the baby so we can have a baby. We want to take care of all of them. We want to open up our hearts to all of these people that need something.
And there's darn few centers and stuff around that are doing that. In fact, I know a lady that is a friend of ours that whose 16-year-old just got pregnant. In fact, she was pregnant when she was 16. So now her daughter's pregnant at 16, and she's distressed. But like she says, can't exactly throw stones, been there. And the state came in and talked to her daughter and gave her just this litany of all the benefits that she's going to have because she's going to be pregnant and stuff. And she said she looked at the social worker and said, you know, you're not telling her any of the downsides of this. You're making this sound like it's going to be a circus.
Right.
And I've been through it, and it is not.
It's a circus, but it's not a happy circus.
No, and she says you're it's not balloons and cotton candy here.
No.
And you aren't telling her any of this. You're telling her, oh, you're going to get money for this. You're going to get money for that. You're going to have this support. She says, you're lying. Mm-hmm. You're lying through your teeth.
Yeah.
This is going to be ridiculously hard for her and for me, and you are not telling her the truth.
Right.
And this is the thing that we have to combat as well.
Right. We have to stop focusing on just what we want to hear. And like the safe haven law in North Dakota, it sounds like a good idea. But in actuality, it's missing something.
Well, the fact that they don't track it is missing.
Yes.
I mean, that's
right.
Mind-boggling.
Right. But I mean, either they don't track it and it's used, which is a possibility, albeit small based on what we know. Or they don't track it and it's not used at all because
it's impossible.
When an infant is surrendered, obviously there's something wrong.
Right. Well,
something.
No offense, but my husband's turning 65. We're trying to sign him up for Social Security and talking about circuses. So I can just imagine what it must be like. You're already under distress mm-hmm. and everything else, and you end up falling into this bureaucracy
yeah.
of paperwork of people going, well, do you abuse your child? Is your child abused? Mm-hmm. Why are you giving up this child?
Yeah. Why are you surrendering?
The Inquisition starts.
Yeah.
Who's going to sign up for this? Nobody's sane.
Right. I mean, it's a system that needs to be fixed at a minimum. And it doesn't, it's not just the system that needs to be fixed. We need to love people where they are. And we can't be a state that says we are supporting of parents and families, but only if you live in the White House on the street with two cars in the driveway.
Yeah. And the thing that bothers me so much is we're so good at putting roadblocks in because, well, it has to be handled through this and it has to be handled through that. And by the time you get through 4 and 5 departments,
right,
you're lost.
And, you know, I mean, again, like 20 years ago, saying you had to surrender it to a person made sense. But now we have technology. There are plenty of ways to surrender an infant safely so that the mother has dignity, mother has anonymity. There's all kind, and it's more accessible to everyone using our technological resources.
Well, I think it's about time that we start. What more does your program offer here? Because I know you're just starting to get off the ground. You're looking for funds and stuff so that you can get this put together and get it all connected and stuff. So what else can people do to maybe connect with you and try to assist?
Well, they can find me at mamabears.com. They can email me from there. My email is also Ursa Major, like the constellation, ursamajor@mamabears.com. And Mama Bears is spelled M-O-M-A because apparently I spelled it wrong. But nonetheless, we're stuck with it now.
Well,
M-O-M-A,
distinctive actually in the internet world actually helps. So you actually may have made an excellent mistake, just so you know.
But Mama Bears is really just focused on helping women and children and families across North Dakota and helping advocate for people in need.
So if I gave you some money, magically.
We have a GiveSendGo account too.
Okay, so I put some money in the GiveSendGo. What is your financial structure like? Where would the money be going so I can? Because a lot of times people go, oh well, trust me, we'll take really good care of it
so,
for you.
Like, there are a couple agencies that are not agencies, nonprofit organizations that are really well known for like spending 98% of their
funds.
That's
my point.
On administrative things. So Mama Bears is structured so that we are specifically raising money for the boxes. And we know that with that also comes the advertising campaign that has to go to communicate the need to people.
And where they're at. And
develop a grassroots, you know, swell of people saying, hey, we should do this. And then once we get the infant shelters in place, we have to provide for them. It's not just like, you know,
a mailbox
where you can just stick a stick in the ground and call it good.
Like the pop-up libraries that I see around the place. Open up the door, drop the kid in, we're good, yeah, bye.
Right. Yeah, no, not like that. So it is a multifaceted thing. And there is, on the website, as expenses are incurred, that will be published and made very public because the intent is to raise money for the infant shelters. And it looks like the infant shelters are going to cost about $11,000 to $20,000 a piece.
Well, they're incubators. Like we said, it's not
It's an incubator with a 24/7 alert system.
Yep.
It's not cheap. And we're going to, I mean, that includes the installation costs. You know, like we're going to have to cut a hole in your wall and we're going to have to tie some wires to it. And all of that is included. So exactly how your funds can go, you can tell, anyone can tell me, I want this money to go exactly for a baby box.
Question for you.
Or
can someone sponsor a baby box?
Yes, you can.
How about if somebody says, all right, I would really like to see a baby box in Minot. Can we sponsor a baby box and call it the Brennan baby box? We'll put a name on that sucker and stick it in a wall of a fire station or wherever we do in Minot.
And that's one of the other things that the project Every Child, Every Family does is provides communities with the resources to develop the system for themselves. Because it doesn't have to be us. It doesn't have to be me I don't care who saves the babies.
But
as long as the babies are saved.
You'll give people the instruction that they need to get going.
Right, right. And we have the resources to help with that.
Because I can imagine that there might be a lot of people that think this is a great idea. Now what?
Right. What do we do now? Well, you have to get a fire chief or a hospital administrator on board for your local area. A mayor might work. And you have to figure out a location. And you have to decide which of the infant shelter, baby boxes, whatever you want, because there's multiple ones out there. You have to contract with that company and raise funds and all of those things. But if you want to contact Mama Bears, then we can help you get all of that started because we have the pattern all laid out.
Perfect. That would be perfect. See, this is what we try to do on this show is we try to inform people of, we talk about things that nobody wants to talk about.
Uh-huh.
We try to come up with solutions. I can bitch all I want. All right. This is wrong. But what good is that if we don't try to come up with an answer for how we can fix it? And I'm so used to people being on talk shows or politicians and everybody else who goes, well, this needs to be repaired. Mm-hmm. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, I don't know, but this needs to be repaired. Or they're going to write a law that does absolutely nothing.
Right. There's a problem. Let's write a law to fix it. But then the problem doesn't get fixed. But we did something.
We wrote a law.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we actually have to love on people where they are
and
provide for them wherever they are.
And if we write the law and we don't enforce it, oh, well, that makes so much sense too. So, I mean,
well, there's a lot of those. That's like a whole nother topic.
Exactly. But I mean, I just really like the fact that what we try to do is we see something incorrect on the show and like you, Mama Bears, you try to let
people know about it and raise awareness.
You're trying to do something.
Yeah. More than that, we want to help people. Like, we want to help people and we need to help. There are people that need help. We need to help them. We need to rise up, North Dakota, and help people.
If you've ever seen the statistics on the number of children that are in foster care, there's an issue. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen the statistics on the number of abortions that there are, there's an issue. Mm-hmm. Now, we could probably solve the foster care problem by increasing the abortion amount, but we aren't solving the real problem because what we're doing is we're killing babies. And the thing is that that's the simple way out.
Yeah, it sure is. Abortion's a way easy way out.
I mean,
there's no stretch marks.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No responsibility.
There's no and all today, kinds of today, no guilt. Things.
Today, no guilt.
Right.
Because
right.
because now it's celebrated. Now yeah. we have parties. We have champagne. We right. woohoo.
Yeah. And not just one. Yay! I have multiple abortions. I am the greatest person ever. That's not really a thing. I mean, we can say that all we want to, but the fact is, even the people that are saying that are hurting.
I have to believe that. I do.
It's wrong. And I don't, you have to somewhere inside of you.
And
it's wrong. And it's hurting everyone.
Well, and I have
to. We have to help people.
I have to believe, especially if you've had an abortion early and then you have a child, that there's no way you can look at that child and not imagine the one that.
Right.
Didn't
my oldest had a twin. We lost a twin. And I, all the time, I'm like, what would it be like to have two of that kid?
I don't know.
I've lost five kids. What would it be like if I had a family of nine children instead of five?
Well, you'd be a lot crazier than you are right now, which is saying a lot for that. Well, Trish, it's been a wonderful hour. I think we've covered an uncomfortable topic in a good way. We've laid stuff out there that is a solution, which too few people do. So please, yep. I would like to Trish, give your contact information one more time, please.
UrsaMajor@mamabears.com.
Okay. Let me tell you, folks, there's a lot of ways to solve problems. We don't have to rely on death and destruction at every turn or someone going away hurting in a lot of different ways. So this is Kit Brennan and Trish Knudsen for Common Sense Uncensored for another day. Say goodbye, Trish.
Thank
All right, everybody. Ta-ta for now.